The words that we often use as a part of a communion service are words that are taken from what was first written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. In essence, what he told them is each time that you eat or drink, and likely he meant that every time that you eat and drink in your house fellowships, each time that you eat and drink, I want you to remember Jesus. And each time you eat and drink, he said, this do in remembrance of me, bringing Jesus' words to those fellowships. And this morning, I want to think about how we might again make those words and those instructions applicable to us here in this setting. Shall we pray? I thank you, Lord God, for your holy word and words, which not only echo through the ages, but become clearer, and we can hear today for ourselves. Give us ears to hear, that we might know how what was said then is meant for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Each month, for 9 months out of the year, there is a pastor peer meeting of Mennonite pastors in central Illinois. At our final meeting for the spring in May, our conference moderator for Illinois Mennonite Conference, a fellow pastor, a good friend of mine, Don Reinheimer, chose this text and the text that we heard this morning as the basis for a devotional exercise that he presented to us. It wasn't simply thoughts that he had, but then he invited us to participate, at least in our minds. Don himself is just months from retirement. He's the pastor at the Lombard Mennonite Church. He's served in all kinds of places, but now he's close to retirement. And so he told us that he's been reflecting of late on what has been foundational in his own life. What does it boil down to? He then, when I said this was an exercise, he asked us as pastors to do the same. Honestly, what have been the foundations for our lives and how have we lived them? We all sort of looked down. That's not necessarily an easy question to answer. Now, we know the right answer, of course. It's right here on our wall. And certainly we as pastors, one would think, would quickly come up this, that the foundation for our lives has been Jesus. I hope that that is the case. But I also know that none of us is perfect. We all have our fallibility, whether we be pastor or not. And sometimes we might not be completely honest with ourselves or as aware as we should be when asked that question. What has been the foundation of your life? I'm not pressuring any of us, obviously, to answer this out loud, but I do bring this question. On what have you built? And there's other language other than foundation that might prompt our thinking. One example would be, what's been the bottom line? What's been a core value? Were I to hand out sheets of paper and you write it down, what would you write down? Bottom line, foundation, core value, perhaps passion. Or you might want to answer it by doing a review of your actions and say, where in fact have you thus far put most of your life energy? What's been the foundation? Now, Elena did, I thought, a very good job when she had the one kind of foundation. She gave some examples. No surprise here, it happens. I have some of the same examples and then maybe a couple more. But these would be non-Jesus examples that perhaps, if we're honest, we realize more than we'd like to admit we've built on. So that at bedrock, more important than anything has been financial success. Or my children and my grandchildren, or, and this would probably have more of a positive, be on the positive side of moral values, my bottom line is I always put other people first. Maintaining a good reputation, I always want people to think well of me. Don't rock the boat. It could even be health and fitness is my bottom line. If we're honest with ourselves, if you're honest with yourself, let your mind ponder that for just a bit. Again, that question, what is the foundation on which you have then built your life? Well, as I said, the right answer is right here in front of us. Foundation can no one lay on which to build life than Jesus. The follow-up question, again, if we were to do this as an exercise, the second half of the sheet of paper would then have this question. This perhaps is the harder one. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence that what we say we have built on is in fact what we have built on? In what way have you built your unique life on Jesus? And as a way of inviting our thinking, and also as a way of challenging us in our less than perfectness, I would say that I have noticed at times, some of this would come from my personal life, but it has certainly come from observations that I've made as a pastor, that even Christians at times have a different kind of architectural plan than this. A person builds their life on the foundation of something like Elena listed or I had on my list. But it's not either or. It's an interesting way of misguided both and, except you can't really do it that way. Meaning, persons build their life on the foundation of something like on that first list, then they build an outbuilding for Jesus. Here's my life, and now and then I'll go to the Jesus building. I'm going to live my life and do what really matters, and periodically I'll go to the Jesus chapel. So there's a part of my life that is in fact built on Jesus. But in other very significant parts of my life, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, with the key word being I. My main house gets my primary focus and energy, but I also do try to keep the Jesus building painted and in good repair. So for example, and I said this is misguided, a person might think, I'm going to look out for number one, but I'm going to keep Jesus in the picture. How do you have two number ones? I'm going to make my bottom line financial success, but 10% of that success I'll give to Jesus. And that, of course, is not what the text says, nor is that the communion instruction. Instead, those first believers who opened that letter from Paul and read it were instructed to daily, each time that they gathered at the table, to hear and to ponder Don Reinheimer's devotional. Every time you gather to eat, the early Christians were told, remember Jesus. Every time that you gather together, remember Jesus, his body, his blood, his sacrifice, his service, his love, his instructions, his way of living. Keep that front and center. The very life that you're going to build is in some way going to not only be aligned with, but it is going to be built on the only one that matters, and that is Jesus Christ. Make that foundational. And on the basis of those memories, and we do tend to forget, so remember regularly, build your life accordingly. Now, what would that look like if we considered the different life stages that we're in? We have all ages and all stages. Well, it's fairly simple. I'm about to go off to college. Well, build your life in college on the memory of Jesus. Simple instruction. That wonderful new life, build it on Jesus. I just got married. I just became a parent, or I became a grand. Design your family life based on what you remember of Jesus. His body, his blood, his sacrifice, his service, his love, his instructions, his model. We just bought a house and moved into a new neighborhood. Build your life as a neighbor, the house of your neighborly life, aligned with the memory of Jesus and how he lived and taught. My friend Don, about to retire. Design the retirement room of the dwelling of your life with Jesus being the bottom line of your choices. This actually, I think, is a very freeing. It doesn't need to be a guilt-producing kind of admonition, because the goal is not to standardize. It is not to say that this is what the Christian life has to look like and you probably have it wrong. It's no surprise that the goal is not to standardize. We're told that each of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. Each of us is gifted differently. It is God's good desire that there be this infinite variety in the human species and in God's servants. Each of us is gifted differently. And so Paul says, well, foundation, you can have straw houses, gold houses, silver houses, wood houses, hay houses. I think that's about enough variety to get us thinking. Each can have value if one begins with the memory of Jesus and accordingly builds on who Jesus was, what he did for us, how he lived, what he taught. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, which for them in their house fellowships was likely daily, you're building it a day at a time, a week at a time, a month at a time, as a year. Do this in remembrance of me. And we as a church have come to incorporate those as reminders for ourselves, even in this society today, which will do everything it can to promote me first individualism. And we take this table and these instructions and we say, we have a different Lord as we live in this world. You probably notice how, as I find myself reading through on a regular basis through Psalms, New Testament, epistles, and so forth, that I'm now in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, sections from the book of Hebrews. And here is a text from Hebrews with which I close that I think summarizes all of this and gives us instruction. It's from Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, it is after the testimony about the cloud of witnesses, and it reads as follows. Notice, we're building, we're moving, we're living. Each of us is different, but it still comes down to Jesus. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us, before you. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Amen.